Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world and our realities and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Explore with us as we examine a metaphysical montage of spiritual insights, covering everything from the mundane to the magical, UFOs to unicorns, and everything in between. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading our wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and with a little luck, some wisdom. This is Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone.
Welcome everybody to Neon Twilight on Nightlight Radio. Want to thank Ken Quiethawk for his intro, and you know, encourage you to look him up on the internet. He is a native storyteller, and he and his wife have been preserving the history of and cosmology of Native Americans through their Native storytelling, and it is a profound experience. Please seek it out. Neon Twilight tonight with your host. Solaris Blue Raven is going to be going into some very interesting topics. I'm very excited to be here with her, and welcome to your show, Solaris.
Well, thank you, Barbara, and it's lovely to be here and connecting with you, and hello, everybody out there.
So you want to set
hear me
up
okay.
What... Yeah. You want to set up what we're going to be doing? Because we've been doing the Emerald Tablet stuff for the last 6 weeks and five months, and we're taking a new direction. So you want to kind of cue people in on where we're going?
Right. Yes, thank you. We're going into spirituality for now. We might turn some corridors around to Manly P. Hall. But right now we're going to dive into spirituality and dive into some of the work that you've put out, actually, and all the information that you have available on your website, barbaradelong.com. And I thought there's some great topics in here we can dive into. I know we come from different areas in a sense of where we dive in with our perspectives, but I think it would be a really nice conversation. And I'm happy to go in any direction as well, right down to the reincarnation, universal laws, and all the other cool stuff that's listed on here.
Well, I think one of the especially during the times we're in now, one of the aspects that people are looking into or talking about or researching is the element of spirituality, and it needs defining for people, because you know, so many people will say, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, and the two really are combinable. So I think it's important people understand just what spirituality is and how to incorporate it not only into their lives but into their realities as well. So, you know, if you were pinned down and said, okay, tell me what spirituality is, how would you describe it?
Well, that's a great question. I would describe it, I think, more along the lines of consciousness. In other words, riding the streams of consciousness and navigating beyond the linear programs of what people normally think about every day from 3D, and moving it into more of a multidimensional perspective. So when I look at spirit, I look at it as a nebulous energetic connected to our creation, creator source, and us being co-creators in that. So that's the way I look at it. I don't think there's a limitation or a certain title on it. I think it's beyond all those things. What do you think?
I agree with you totally. And I think that you know, even to expand on that, because we are spirits in a human body, I think we so often negate the spirit part of us, and we address more ego-centered things within our lives. And to be truly spiritual, it's a matter of opening that portal to the higher consciousness so that that energy can flow into our life and enhance it. And so many people keep that portal closed for some reason, and many people probably don't even realize it's there. They think spirituality, and spirituality is not a thought. It's mm-hmm. a concept and emotion. So that mm-hmm. it's hard to describe it in concrete terms, because it's a non-concrete, it's an emotion, and it's sort of like you can't see it, feel it, touch it, smell it, but you can experience it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, it's like attuning to the feel, frequency-wise, in your own state of being. And I also think it has a lot to do with this heart center, too, opening up the heart center. A lot of people close their heart center down, their emotional body gets more contained, and the mental body gets more stimulated here on this world. And I think they forget to create that balance, and that's something I look at as well.
Well, I think during the last year, for sure, with everything being so changed and different within our lives, a lot of people have basically shut down that aspect of their lives because they're more worried about their physical well-being and their lives, and they're not touching into that other aspect of themselves. And by not touching into that aspect, they throw their whole life out of kilter, out of balance, and they deny themselves the potential to actually have this be a great experience as opposed to a scary one. So if we mm-hmm. were talking to a room full of people that had no metaphysical background, and certainly anybody tuning into this show with you and I on it have to know that there's spirituality connected to it. I mean, it's just, you know, there's no way we're going to talk about nuts and bolts on anything. But let's for the moment assume that we've got a room full of people that really aren't into any of the metaphysics. And how would expanding this quality within them enhance their life? You know, for me, it makes everything richer. It makes everything more beautiful. It takes my life from a black and white world to a technicolor one. I mean, I can go on mm-hmm. and on about it. But if you're talking to somebody that, you know, hasn't got the background that you and I have, how would you start to explain spirituality to them? I mean, you can go into non-dimensional stuff, but somebody that, you know, I don't know, that's walking out of the grocery store and just, you know, you happen to be talking to them, how do you explain spirituality? It's really hard to do.
It's definitely something they have to experience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So if we were going to, you know, speak to a room full of people that, you know, have never heard about spirituality and they just sort of assume it's connected to religion, how would you separate it from religion and show that the two can exist side by side and they actually enhance one another?
Well, to me, I would say religion, in my opinion, is a stepping stone on one level to your own evolution. So uh-huh. I don't even factor that one in. But for a regular person out there, I just say it's part of frequency, it's part of light, it's part of energy, it's part of consciousness, it's part of love, and it's really about attuning and dialing into the field. And even if they don't understand the word spirituality, opening their energies up to perceive a different reality, regardless of what they've been programmed to believe here on this timeline, would help them. I mean, it is hard to describe because it is something you experience. And empaths feel it naturally. They're really dialed in. People who are more cerebral have a harder time. And usually it's like a near-death experience or something that's very, very intense in their life that changes their life forever, and all of a sudden they're opened up in consciousness. But it has a lot to do with the biosuit and the field and the energy centers as well. So it's all factored in. But, yeah, it's a great question, and it's hard to give an answer, quite honestly. I mean, I say riding the stream of consciousness, but, yeah, it's something you have to experience. It's something that you have to just focus your intent on in a sense of wanting to receive more. from the cosmic design, in my opinion anyway.
It's, you know, good. But, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, everybody understands religion. Religion is something you practice. Spirituality mm-hmm. is something you live, and there's a difference.
Right.
It's
mm-hmm.
there's no dogma connected to it. You can be an atheist or an agnostic. You can not believe in a God or a higher being, and you can still live an extraordinarily spiritual life. So it's how you are applying yourself to your reality. And there are so many people that you know, say they're spiritual, and I don't think they, you know, because you and I are struggling so with this, I would imagine most people would struggle with trying to describe the spiritual aspects of their life. For me, the spiritual concepts came through meditation, through getting more involved in listening to myself and connecting to my higher consciousness and letting go of my ego. And it was not coming into my own spirituality was not something I intentionally did. I just started meditating, and it could be not only meditating, but it could be Tai Chi, it could be Reiki, it could be any kind of an energetic process. And I think you were right in that it is an energy more than anything else that
yeah,
takes you to
in.
Another. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I've always been dialed in. I've never been, even as a child, even I didn't really understand what I was dealing with at the time. But I've always been dialed into spirit, consciousness, frequency, other realms. So for me, it's mm-hmm. a natural thing. And like you say, the more you study, the more you read, the more you start reading books on enlightenment, you become more enlightened. I mean, all these different things start factoring in the awakening. An awakening process happens with the DNA activated and the state of consciousness. And I think it all just factors in. And at some point, it just seems like we get these huge amounts of cosmic downloads. It's very interesting, but it is quite a journey, you know?
It is, and what I am, you know, in trying to explain this to people, it becomes very obvious that it is a very personal thing for everybody, and it's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. Certainly everyone has had from time to time in their life what I call a mountaintop experience, where you suddenly feel as though you are connected to everything and everyone. And it's you know, for some it's a brief moment in time. For others, it's something you can recapture, you know, on a pretty regular basis. But that is where your spirit becomes totally integrated into your physical reality, and you're one with everything. And
mm-hmm.
I sat in an ashram once, and there were several hundred people, and they were all chanting the Om. And
mm-hmm.
you could feel yourself being lifted out of body from it. It's an
yeah.
energy that infiltrates your entire being and takes you out of the physical reality, the brick and mortar part of yourself, and it takes your spirit. Your spirit literally lifts out of it, and there's a sense of greater freedom when you are involved in this energetic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get to a place where I can get people to understand that it's different for everybody, so that you know, I mean, I can talk about a couple times that I felt that upliftedment, and you can probably do the same thing, and it probably happened in very different ways and very different moments. And so if people are looking to attach themselves or to connect themselves to that aspect within themselves that is a part and connected to the source, you get there through lots of different ways, but meditation is really one of those ways. I mean, if you were
mm-hmm.
going to talk to somebody, what is the simplest form of meditation you can think of?
Well, I like the Om. I think that's a really good one. I do the Unified Chakra Meditation is a nice one because you're unifying all the chakra centers from the heart center, which expands your field of energy and your light body into more Merkaba design. That's more technical, but my point is that it's very powerful. anytime people start breathing properly and they start taking the deep breaths and exhaling and breathing in universal life force energy, they're going to change their field. They're going to change their vibrational frequency and signatures, you know. So that also mm-hmm. factors in a sense of how they're able to all of a sudden become more spiritual. They're becoming more centered. Well, the body's able to breathe spiritual air, and that's another thing, right? Because now they're letting go of the tension of the day, and they're channeling the energy. They're bringing it in, whether it's through the breath work or whether it's through toning. I love toning. I think that's another way. You mentioned the meditation, sounding in general. All these wonderful things can raise the field and raise the vibration. And once you raise the vibration, that's when the altered states of consciousness come in. So there you go. When it comes down to how do we experience spirituality, well, that's part of it, because once you open up the field through frequency, you're starting to experience another realm.
Yeah, and the breathing into a count of five and then breathing out to a count of five. And you know, if you do that on a regular basis, you hyperventilate and you literally are lifted out of body to a certain degree. Anyone who has experienced a near-death experience, I would say 99% of the people that I've spoken to that have experienced a near-death experience come back and want to serve humanity in some way or form, because mm-hmm. they are now aware that there is some place they go, that there's another level, another dimension where the spirit travels and is able to continue its journey on to wherever it's going. And so, you know, when once you hit that point where you know that there's more, that death is really just going through a doorway to another realm, it makes everything easier. But when they come back and they want to serve humanity, and that's not saying that you quit your job and you build houses for Habitat for Humanity, which is a good thing, but you continue on your life, but you also are realizing that in order for you to grow and for you to become a better person, you have to become the better person inside of yourself first. The first love affair you have to have is with yourself, and it's a matter of understanding that the spirit in you is here to grow and experience, and your consciousness is a part of it, but what you do with your energy within your life is a reflection of the spiritual level that you are experiencing internally. And, you know, we've all seen mm-hmm. people that are just hardcore into, you know, buying stuff and having more toys and earning more money, and, you know, there's not a sense of service here that is so important. And, I mean, mm-hmm. you and I do shows like this. We don't get paid for this. This is our way of giving back. This is our way of actually, it's for you and I. I think that doing stuff like this helps us to clarify what it is we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, it's great. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm like the mad scientist. I don't socialize a whole lot with – I'm just kind of wired in for different fields of energy. So when you and I get together and we speak the same language, or very close anyway, it's really nice. And, yeah, so it's wonderful, and I know that the audience can get something out of it as well. So, yeah.
I think that for me, it's you know, I'm an ex-teacher. Well, you're not an ex-teacher. You're never an ex-teacher. You're always a teacher. But I have found that you know, when I have somebody that talks the same language, that I learn a lot. And mm-hmm. you know, some of it is I pick up stuff that I didn't know, like you didn't know a title of a book, what it meant a few minutes ago. and we won't go into that. But I do learn, and sometimes I think people have to understand if there is a place where you want to be, an energetic that you want to be a part of, you can find people that are in that same energy field. And in sharing information and philosophy, you learn stuff comes out of your mouth that you didn't know was inside your head. And mm-hmm. and that's when spirit is speaking to you and saying, hey, you know, we have somebody who can understand what you're saying, so let's shovel some more stuff at you. And so I always get off these shows having learned a lot from you and you know, and had such a great time. But spirituality is an exciting aspect of our development here on the earth plane. Now it's, you know, we have a spirit, and so the spirit, you know, has access to all sorts of wonderful things that, that we don't normally pull into our physical reality, but the potential is there to do that. And a lot of the magic that, that everyone carries within them is our creative talents and gifts. And by working with your spirituality, by working with meditation, I'll throw another form of meditation out there. That's the empty-headed meditation, where you sit for, at first, 5 minutes, and you empty your head and just listen. And when thoughts come in, you thank them and you send them on. And if you can get to a place where you can sit with an empty head for 20 minutes, you've cleared that passageway. You've gotten rid of the garbage, and your spirit is able to send through synchronicities, through intuition, through insight that you didn't know you had. It's able to reach the conscious part of you much more easily and give you information that can enhance your reality. And finding that quiet in today's in what's going on today.
Oh, it's an overstimulated world. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think the meditation and the toning and the breathing and all that, all of that information will reset the field, so to speak, will reset the body, at least quiet the mind for a little while.
Well, I think also there are especially, well, lately we just experienced I think a lunar eclipse a day or so ago.
Yeah, last night,
and
wasn't it?
I think so. But during times like this, there are downloads that are being sent, you know, to the Earth plane, and it's. So people are probably experiencing a lot of strange new sensations. One would be a ringing in the ears or a buzzing in the ears. It's you know, certainly if it bothers you, you know, see a doctor. But mostly that is a sign of spiritual energy being processed by the spirit inside of you. So a long time ago, I had a car accident, and right before the car accident, I started with the ringing in the ears and everything, and the doctor said, "Well, I can get rid of that for you." I said, "You know, I kind of like it. it tells me something good is going on. So, no, please don't give me something that's going to get rid of it, because then I'll feel alone again."
But you didn't get the vertigo, right, or no? Is that that's
yeah? I have vertigo too.
Okay, yeah.
I
think you said you did. That's right, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a great excuse to grab onto nice-looking men, by the way. So
there you go.
You use it, you know. If you have something going on, use it, for heaven's sakes. Don't suffer through something. Use it to your good advantage. So the concept of spirituality, with people saying, you know, "Oh, I'm a spiritual person," I kind of want to say to them, what does that mean to you, and how has that changed your life? So you've always been in this flow of energy. I came to it in my 20s, and it changed the way for me that I interacted with other people. I found there was a greater kindness in me. You know, I still get bitchy, but there is a greater kindness towards other people in me from before this awakening happened. And I got to call it an awakening, because it made me realize that there is not a person out there that can't teach me something. And if I'm kind enough, and if I listen carefully enough, anyone can teach me something that will be of benefit to me, not in a bad way, like, you know, I don't ever want to be near someone like that again, because, you know, but basically there's a positive lesson from every person you meet, and if you are patient enough to find that lesson, then that enhances you as a person and makes you a better person. And
absolutely.
You know, sometimes there are people that really push all of our buttons, and the lesson is not get away from them. It's, where's the lesson? what positive can I take from this? And when you find that lesson and really take it into yourself, the difficulty with that person goes away. And that's where the spirituality came with me. It changed the way, first of all, it changed the way I interacted with other people. And then it opened up the possibilities of, you know, well, what's inside of me? How do I take this new energy, and how do I stretch myself into it? And for me, spirituality opened the doorway to a greater creativity in me, which enabled me to express myself in other modalities in a richer way. I'm trying to sell spirituality to people who just aren't into the metaphysics.
Well, they go hand in hand. Any way you look at it, anytime you dive into metaphysics, you're going to be activating on some level of your spiritual design. So, but I like your description. I think that's very true. And even for myself, when I received initiations and all the spiritual work I've done over the years, everything was just an exploration, but an expansion of my own divinity. And eventually I had that same feeling you have, in a sense of inner peace, a lot easier to deal with people, more like grace and move on kind of aspects versus polarization. I mean, all these things factored in, but there was definitely an ability to navigate as light and be very peaceful and fluid. And it was, you know, it's just a beautiful experience, in my opinion. So that's what I can relate to, in a sense of what it's done for me on the journey itself, where I've been. Can you hear me
still
okay?
There? Oh,
yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it just felt like you dropped off for a second.
Okay, now so, I'm here, but never know. Go ahead.
I could be gone in a second. So if people are curious about spirituality, certainly meditation is a great way to get into it. And it, spirituality is not the element of spirituality is unique to every individual. It's basically, I believe, at least for me at this moment in time, attaching to that spirit that is riding in the avatar that is my physical body now.
Mm-hmm.
And so to make that connection, you have to let go to a degree of the physical reality in order to travel to that space inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And once you make that connection, then all sorts of wonderful things start to happen in your life. And I think one of the keys to, you know, because it's sort of like when people start to meditate, they can be, you know, drifting into the ether and stuff like that, and the thought will come to their head, ah, I must be meditating. And if you're thinking about you must be meditating, then you're not meditating. So it's the same thing with the spirit. It's people want to have a signal, something to look to say, aha, I'm on the right track. And for me, it's always been synchronicities happen in my physical reality that tell me I'm doing the right thing and I'm going the right direction. And, you know, people who are new to the field are going to want to know, you know, how do I tell, you know, that I'm going to the right place inside of my head, that I'm actually meditating, that I'm, you know, that I'm definitely on a spiritual pathway. And for me, it has always been the synchronicities, because if I'm hit with a number of synchronicities, I know that it's the universe saying, okay, you know, don't screw up, keep going.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. Also, you know, it's there's less drama when you're following spirit, too. It's just, there's less of the baggage. It's just a different frequency, in my opinion. So that's how you know, in a sense. That's how it's been for me, you know, when I'm on the right wave of energy. Things just kind of flow a lot better.
Well, you know, you and I are, you know, we've been in the field for quite a while, so that, you know, but I still want those little guideposts that say, you know, okay, you know, keep going. You're, you know, here's a synchronicity that couldn't possibly have happened any other way. So therefore, if you have those synchronicities occurring in your life, then you are on the right trail.
Mm-hmm.
And Because, you know, I have to admit there have been times where I really doubted, you know, I thought, oh my gosh, what if I'm just on an ego trip? And I think one of the weird things, and sometimes they're weird, and weird is fine. When I was doing the deck of cards, when I was painting them, I was surviving on about 3 hours sleep a night for almost 9 months. Now, I was channeling the drawing and the painting, so in a way, you know, my conscious mind was asleep, but the spirit was having a great time. But there came a time where I stepped back and I said, wait a minute, am I on one heck of an ego trip here? Is this me saying I'm great and I'm wonderful and I've created this deck of cards and it's going to be really exciting and yada, yada, yada? And I thought, if this is an ego trip, I don't want to do it because I don't want to be a fraud. And I took the dog out for a walk. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was springtime. And where I lived at the time, there were boatyards just down the street from me, so you could hear the clanking of the rigging in the sailboats at night. It was a spring night. It was beautiful out, and I was talking out loud because nobody was there but the dog, and she, you know, she knew I was strange. And I said, look, I'm going to go on strike here. I need a sign. It doesn't have to be a burning bush or, you know, or a thunderous voice coming from the heavens. I'm okay with that. But I need a sign that I'm not on an ego trip, because if I'm on an ego trip, I have to stop because this is just wrong. I don't want to delude people. I want to put something out there that's a true, something for them to work with to help them, you know, develop. And, you know, I said, I'm not painting anymore. I'm not doing anything anymore. I'm going to wait for the sign. And if I get a sign, then I'll go back to work. And if I don't, then I'm going to go to bed and get a good night's sleep finally. And nothing happened. I looked at all the bushes as we walked by thinking, well, maybe he, you know, maybe there would be a burning bush. Who knew? And suddenly, three seagulls threw over my head and emptied themselves onto my head. And it was like, seagulls don't fly at night. So it was like, and it's supposed to be lucky if a bird flies over you and goes on you, but three was a bit much. And so I, you know, stood there for a second, and I said, all right, I got the message. I'll go back to work. And I made a note to myself, never go on strike outside again. Only do it inside.
Or bring an umbrella, right?
Yeah. But it's sort of like, and, you know, I haven't asked for a sign since then. I've relied upon the synchronicities that happen, but they do happen, and they happen quite frequently. So that, you know, if I went for any extended period of time and didn't have a synchronicity, I'd have to sit back and say, okay, what am I not doing? What should I be doing? You know, how do I get back in the flow? I mean, have you ever stumbled out of the flow and then realized you were out of the flow and had to get back in it?
I think I've had derailments, so to speak. Yeah, that's gone on. Over the years, you know, through my initial stuff that happened in 2004, but then it just kind of resyncs, you know. Eventually you just notice, and then all of a sudden there's a course correction. Now, usually that course correction doesn't come from me at the personality level. It comes more from my spirit or oversoul, and then all of a sudden things start to align accordingly. And especially if you let go of the wheel, if you just get out of the way, for me, if I just get out of the way, then spirit will take the helm. Spirit will deal with it. But if I start pushing like the Aries I am, things get a little strange.
So. Yeah, I think it's important for people to know that even though we've been in the field for a long time, it's still a learning process for both of us. I mean, it's mm-hmm. you never. I mean, first of all, how would you know you had arrived? I mean, I think the entire lifetime is a journey, and somebody once said to me a long, long time ago, you know, you should be in this field full time, yada, yada. And I said, you know, I teach school, you know, but when I retire, I will get into this full time. And they said, no, no. And I said, when I am retired, and I feel that I have something to share, I'll look around, and if there's anybody there who wants to listen to me, I'll talk. And he jumped on me and he said, no, no, you don't understand. It's your journey that is the teaching tool. Not arriving. Nobody cares if you arrive. It's what are the roadblocks? What are the things, you know, where have you stumbled? And then picked yourself back up and gotten going again. You know, those are the teaching tools. And he was right. Because,
yeah,
you know, have you arrived? Are you a master of, I mean, there are a couple of people, you know, Jesus, Buddha, you know, that definitely had arrived. But I would admit, I would think also that because they were in human form, they had their own journey that they were on.
Well, there's all kinds of things associated with that, yeah. But I think when push comes to shove, it really is about mastering consciousness, and it is a ride. We're just constantly morphing and changing, and our frequencies modulating in different waves of energy. And that's why I think it's so important to keep learning, you know, keep reading, keep studying. Always, always learn. Always keep growing and evolving, in my opinion anyway. For me, it's like that's what I choose to do. And things get easier on that level, but, you know, it is interesting. We're able to navigate. We are time travelers. I mean, if we really dive into that, we are the time travelers, so we do understand at the soul consciousness level. It's just the personality gets kind of in the way sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, a long time ago, I don't think I have much Aries in me at all. I'm Pisces. But I did a convention with the cards, and somebody at the convention asked me if I'd ever, you know, worked, you know, done a bookstore or anything like that. And of course, I say yes to everything. So long as it's legal, that I would be happy to, you know, work in a bookstore and everything. And after doing several times, you know, repeat in several bookstores all over the place, I basically said to the universe or whoever was out there, I got this. I know where you want me to go now. I understand perfectly where I'm meant to be. And so I put together these presentation books that cost me a fortune to put out. I contacted bookstores all over the country. I sent the presentation book and all of the information on how I would work and everything to them. Spent a lot of money and got nothing back. And then I realized, you know, and when I did it, I heard a door slam, and it was sort of like those that were guiding me and helping me navigate everything went out to play golf when I said, I've got it, I'll take it from here. And I didn't have it. And the way it was supposed to work was I was supposed to wait for people to approach me instead of me approaching people. And once I got that in my head, I realized that you know, I wait for the call, and then I answer the phone. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was a matter of you aren't intellectually in charge of this journey. It's a spiritual journey. So the intellect has nothing to, you know, reason and logic has nothing to do with the spiritual journey. The spiritual journey is something the spirit needs to experience within this physical plane. And you can't analyze it. So you have to flow mm-hmm. with it and wait for the offer to be there or the call to be made. And I still, to this day, every now and then, will sort of think, oh, I know where this is going. You know, why don't I just help it along? And usually when I do, I absolutely mess up. And you know, I've been in the field for over 50 years, and I still mess up. Mm-hmm. And it is.
Well, that's, you know, Pisces is good about waiting, though. I think that's a good thing for you. You know, you're the receptive one. So having the energy come to you, it makes sense? It does.
Yeah.
You know, when you mentioned some of those things in the old days, I remember the flyers, not to digress or change the subject, but I remember those flyer days of putting flyers out. business cards. You know, before the internet was so accessible, we did things the old way, which was, you know, putting flyers out, et cetera. And, but, you know, Spirit brought the people to me. I never pushed anything either. I put my information out there, and I kind of just let it ride, and people would show up. So that's how that rolls. For me, anyway, that's how it was.
Well, I think
I think they're guided to be there. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think it's important that people understand that, that everybody is going to have these ego trips in a different way. But the reality is the ego has to get out of the way. If it's a spiritual journey, the ego has to get out of the way. The ego only has this lifetime as a frame of reference. And you're on a spiritual journey through eternity. So that you know, what you think you know doesn't necessarily apply to the journey the spirit is on, and the spirit is in charge.
The spirit is an aspect of self.
Well, and you know, I think one of the things lately that I have learned, which it was through personal experience, I guess, and I realized that if you're especially in a relationship, and if somebody needs something and somebody wants something else, the need will always trump the want. And you have to, there's no way that you can battle it out and impose your want on someone's need, because that need will always be there and it will fester until it's answered. The want, not necessarily. The want is very fickle. It can go to lots of different places.
Yeah, it's kind of like ebb and flow.
Yeah.
I think a relationship should be ebb and flow in a sense. That's my own personal opinion. But, there definitely needs to be a balance insofar as, just letting things move energetically in alignment with a cosmic design. I know it's hard for people to do. They get really wrapped up in a lot of other stuff. But that's how, in my opinion, that's how it should be.
Well, if you hear yourself saying, I want this, and, you know, or I really need this. I mean, there is a different energetic connected to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it sounds desperate.
It's sort of like, you know, with people who are compulsive shoppers, and mm-hmm. it's like, do I need this or do I want this? And you know, frankly, I was always able to rationalize any want into a need, you know, for something that I just had to have. I needed to have it badly. And usually if it was something that I really didn't need, that, you know, it either arrived broken or I didn't use it or it was a waste of money. So I think the whole process of the spiritual development, evolution, and ascension process is getting to know yourself a lot better. And it's not something that a shrink can tell you. It's not something. It's one of these things that you have to do personally, and it's not something that can be told to you. You can't go to a medium and have her tell you what your great uncle Charlie says. You can't rely on another person to do this for you. It's in a way, it's a very personal experience. And some people get lost in the process of making the discovery for themselves. That's why I wanted to sort of keep it as simple as possible, because telling somebody that you have to go within and make connection to the spirit within you is just, you know, it doesn't make sense to them because they've never met that spirit.
Yeah, but they're already connected, so it's not like they really have to do much, you know, just understand it's there. That's another part of it, too. It's not separate from them. It's a part of them. So it's just like the cosmic design. It's not separate. Once you realize that, there's no separation, and there's that consciousness that connects in where people can see that. I still think reading books on spirituality or mysticism or anything like that, meditation, whatever, but the reading really does put people in that space of learning and learning on a level of spirituality, too. So to me, I think that's a great way for people to get pulled into that field of energy and learn and also be awakened. It quiets their mind because they're busy reading, but they're also experiencing the frequency of the words.
Well, you've got a number of really good books out too that are very, very helpful. That whole the ascension through the one that I've stolen so much from.
Oh, Transmutation Through Ascension. Thank you. Yes.
Yes.
That's a great one to start with. Actually, I think that's a good book to start with for people who want to know what spirituality is about. It's a good calibrator. You know, it is.
Oh, absolutely. I have stolen and I have, but not really stolen because I always tell people where
permission.
I get the material from.
Because you're the teacher's teacher.
It's a great book, and you know all of your books are very interesting. And what's cool about them is you haven't written a 600-page book. What I'm finding these days, because authors have had so much time to themselves, they're now writing 400, 500, 600, and 700-page books instead of the normal 200 to 300 pages.
I can't handle that. I don't know about you. I look for the last page at that point, almost. I'll skim through it, unless it's a really good read.
Yeah, lately there have been a number of 400 and 500-page books that I read a book a week because of the show, and I have struggled from time to time. It's like, holy mackerel, I would like this pandemic to be over so that authors are writing shorter books.
That's pretty lengthy, but I applaud you for reading their books. I think that's wonderful, especially if they're lengthy, you know.
Well, you know, it's part of my education, too. It's, you know, from every book I read, I get something. And it's really quite amazing. There have been a couple of books that I have read that when I've spoken to the author before the show, it's like, you know, one of them I said, you know, I think I understood about 75% of the book. And he said, well, that's better than most. And I said, well, I read it all. I understood only about 75% of it, but I found it worthwhile and valid. So, you're absolutely right. And, you know, picking up books on spirituality, on all aspects of mysticism, is a wonderful way to get a good background and an understanding as to where other people are coming from. And it's important you take what works for you and you incorporate it into your own inner truth. Not everything everybody writes is going to totally, absolutely resonate to what your own inner truths are. And I think it's important for people to understand that everybody's inner truths are just a little bit different. So, you know, what applies to you, take in and utilize. What doesn't, you know, skip it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and usually, you know, as well as I do, I mean, there are times when you're just, well, in the old days, you go into a bookstore and these things practically jump off the shelves at you when you're really synced up into learning something. I've noticed that in the past, you know, there were certain books that just pop out, and I'm sure people would run into that same thing. And once again, you know, what resonates, you can highlight. I always like to highlight books. That's why I would never give them to anybody. But yeah, certain passages, they speak to your spirit. They speak to your state of consciousness. And that's what I think is the key to evolution and also one spiritual path.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when I run across a term or a phrase or an author's name that you know, has been on the show or whatever, that kind of, you know, it suddenly brings back a lot of stuff that was in their book that relates to what's in this book, and you build upon it. I think that I have, in all the years that I've done the radio show, and I think we're going on 12 or 13 years now, there hasn't been a book that hasn't taught me something. And I don't book someone unless I really think the book is going to be, you know, I don't book just anybody. I book, you know, the title of the book has to intrigue me, or what it's about has to intrigue me, so that there is an element of, you know, there's something here for me. But, I mean, lately, within the last couple of months, I had a book that I had to read because I wanted a relationship, a professional relationship with the authors, and yet the book did not appeal to me at all. And I kicked myself all the way through it. I read it once, and then we had to put off the interview, and you know, I finally got them back on, and we did the show, and I read the book a second time, and I suddenly saw a whole bunch of, synchronicities of places where there were hidden messages of, I mean, it was so amazing that there was so much there that I did not see the first time. And mm-hmm. it was amazing because, I mean, I fought this. I didn't want to do it, but I wanted a professional experience with the author. And I thought, well, okay, then I'll do this book. And I found I learned a tremendous amount to it. It made me so much more perceptive as to hidden meanings between colors or references, or I mean, it made me a much better person. Now the material of the story, the book itself, it was nothing I would have read given my choice, and yet it taught me to be so much more perceptive as to hints that people have woven into their stories or their experiences or whatever. So there's a part of me that kicks myself for not trusting my initial judgment and you know, squirming and saying, I don't wanna, and yet I hung in there and I learned a tremendous amount about mm-hmm. my own inner perception. And so I think it behooves us to pay attention to where our gut sends us and mm-hmm. you know, realize that there's usually a point.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, being open-minded especially. I think that's good. I think that's excellent, even if you're, you know, I get the same way. There's certain things I probably wouldn't pick up and read, but I do read them, especially if I'm interviewing somebody. So, yeah, we do get bits and pieces of information that we normally wouldn't get, in my opinion anyway. I think that's excellent.
Well, it's sort of like being a reader, you know, it means that you are not only reading a person's energetic, but you're reading all of the hints that they are giving you in how they dress and how they sit and how they look and how they speak. And so it makes you so much more perceptive. And you know, when you're taking that energy and you're putting it into a book or whatever, if you pay attention to what is being said and how it is being said, there's an energetic there that if you are non-judgmental that you can pick up on. And this has to do with spirituality as well. It has to do with there is a message here, and there's a message here not only just for me but for anybody who reads it. And I think mm-hmm. I think it's important that we not just read material with our intellect, but we read it with our spirit as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Definitely. You know, it's interesting when you mentioned reader, because the first thing that comes to mind is profiler. Pretty much the same thing, except one's more analytical. But the idea behind that is assessing people, you know. But, yeah, I agree with you. But I think it is absorbed through spirit in some way, whether it's through the subconscious or other. Even if we're trying to be analytical in a reading, I think that the spirit mm-hmm. absorbs it as well. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and being spiritually oriented helps you gather information that your spirit needs, and I think that's another thing that the spirit that is within us is not here to serve humanity. It's here to serve itself and grow and expand on a spiritual level, to be able to ascend and go into other dimensions and stuff like that. But in the process of becoming a richer, more vibrant light on the planet, that light does help other people. But the purpose here, and that's a great thing,
mm-hmm.
but your purpose here is not for other people. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't understand. I mean, I've spoken to people who have said, you know, I'm here to do a healer. I'm here to be a healer. I'm here to heal other people. And it's kind of like, if you're a healer, have you healed yourself?
There you go. Yep.
And
they have to.
And
otherwise, they can't heal anybody else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry.
No, but it's true. And,
yeah,
and,
it is.
And,
how can you heal
know,
somebody else if you're not healed, right?
Well, and can they? Okay, here's a good question. Can they really heal someone else, or they absolutely can send energy to that
mm-hmm.
other person, and that other person
right.
can use that energy in any way they want to, but
mm-hmm.
but you know, you can't raise the dead, you can't change, you know, oftentimes someone's problem as far as an area of pain or inflammation or whatever has something to do with something on a spiritual level that they have to address within themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Starts in the aura usually. Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I have a friend.
Well, I know a lot of healers that are just messed up, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
My sister recently broke her shoulder and, you know, it was, she fell down the stairs, and it was painful, and it was awful, and her husband was, you know, at the time dying of cancer. And you know, I said to her, you know, I realize your shoulder is broken. I got that. But could it be a message to you that you were trying to shoulder too much responsibility and you weren't allowing other people to help you?
Mm, good point.
And
what side
and
was the shoulder on? Was it right or left?
It was on her dominant side, right.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah.
And so, you know, yeah, she did have a broken shoulder. Absolutely. But because of it, she had to allow other people to help her. And she finally realized that there were people around that were going to help her and chip in and, you know, just be wonderful to her for the whole process. And she is the kind of person that doesn't invite other people into her life easily. And she had no choice.
Mm.
And it made her a much better person because all the people that gathered around her were just, it was amazing. But I think my point being that healers, people who say they are healers, should really rephrase it and say, I am an energy sender, you know.
A facilitator is what I like to use. Because it really is about facilitating a healing and bringing more divine forces. But, yeah, you know, but I agree that the healer, you need to take care of yourself. And I think you made some really good points because most people do. They want to take care of everyone. They want to carry the world on their shoulders. But you've got to take care of yourself. You've got to be fortified body, mind, and spirit. And then everything else is an osmosis effect with other people.
Oh, yeah. It's sort of like if you fill your cup full and it overflows, the overflow is the best you have. It's the best energy you've got. And if you share your overflow with other people, that's wonderful. But if you are
mm-hmm.
taking your own physical energy and sending it, because I've seen a lot of healers who you know, say, oh, I had to rest because I was so drained that it was unbelievable and I'm so tired I have to, you know, rest up before I do another person. And it's like, wait a minute, you're supposed to be channeling. And if you channel,
that's right.
then you are enhanced by the energy that's flowing through you, and you are never depleted. So,
right.
So if somebody is going to a healer who has to rest up between people, they're using their own vital energy, and therefore you're not getting
you're
the best spiritual energy. So,
I so agree.
You know.
And so many are like that, right down to psychic readings. I've never seen anything like it because I'm not wired like that. I don't do that, and I'm sure you don't either. But, yeah, quite a few people do. And I don't correct them. It's not really my place to, in a sense, but it is interesting to see how they use all their personal energy. And with that comes their personal baggage, by the way. So that's another thing. People have to be aware of what they're doing when they're healing. Yeah. So-called healing. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good point
to
make, Barbara.
Well, I became a Reiki master because, because it was there, I guess. But I promised the person who taught it to me that I would never instruct anybody because I use the energy differently than a Reiki person would use it. So it was an interesting experience because I just did everything differently, and I wanted the attunements, which were fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody has ever done Reiki, the attunements are just to die for.
Yeah, they're awesome. If you have the right teacher, they're fantastic. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
And it also thwarts you into another field of healing, too, because with mine, after I received my master level, I went into a whole different energy. I mean, it was like I created my own signature series because there was much more to the multidimensional perspective, and it just started putting me in another universe. So it's very, very powerful. And now we have a lot of different Reiki master teachers, and I'm not sure, I can't judge any illusion of, but I can't tell you if it's a really good lineage or not. But I know that I got a good one, and I'm sure you did, too. Back in, this was for me, was back in the 90s, and I wasn't really looking for it. It found me. And I think that's, once again, it's one of those synchronistic kind of events where you're on the path of spirit, and somehow people just show up. They just land in your orbit. I remember a high priestess from the Golden Dawn introduced me to this person who was a Reiki master. She's like, yeah, I need to put you two together. You're at the same frequency, is what she said. And when he gave me my first and second, he said, you're really, really powerful. He goes, I'm just going to do the first and second. And later on, I was cranking like master level. And he says, I'm just going to give you the master about a week later because I was just rolling with this field of energy. But, yeah, I didn't mean to digress. But, yeah, I love that energy, and I think Reiki is a beautiful, beautiful way to heal.
Oh, absolutely. It's
really nice.
I mean, and I had the same experience. You know, I got to two, and she said, oh, for heaven's sakes, I'm just going to do the master attunement, too, because you know what you're doing. And,
so funny.
And you know, she said, now just shut up and don't interrupt me when I'm trying to instruct the others, because, you know, she would have us doing something, and I would stand back because, you know, the other people were doing their scanning and everything, and they said, well, don't you want to scan? And I said, I have. No, but you haven't. Your hands over. I said, I've scanned. Trust me. And, you know, and you use it differently. If you're used to the energy, you will incorporate it into whatever your modality is. And right. if you don't happen to have one, then learning their modality is a good idea. But I think the important thing for people to understand is you take it and you make it your own. So you let it grow within you. And, you know, I'm not saying everybody should you know, do their own thing with it and create their own lineage and stuff like that. But I think it's okay for people to understand that it's your energy. You know what best way to utilize your energy.
Right.
And
yeah, it does morph. There's no doubt.
But it is amazing what you can do when you have, you know, the comfort with your own energetic field. And that is really, I think, one of the important things of learning to work with spirit within yourself. And when we talk about spirituality, we're talking about a person's individual spirit, not necessarily with the source of all creation or anything like that. It's allowing the spirit within you to manifest within your reality and connect with you and enhance what this lifetime is supposed to be.
Exactly.
You know, it can be a struggle or it can be an adventure. And you know, if people are struggling, then they are paddling upstream.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, the ego is saying, "No, my way." And trust me, you will eventually wear out and you'll go with the current. But It's so, and Lord knows I can speak from experience because I have paddled against the current many, many times. And it's sort of like stepping back and out of the way so spirit can work its way through whatever lessons you need to learn this lifetime.
Exactly. And, yeah, well, life goes a lot easier, less drama when you're dialed into the right harmonic. So speaking, I think that healing arts, anything with healing arts, puts you in that energetic with a higher self. But, you know, the spirit needs to breathe. It just needs to, the soul, spirit, consciousness needs to animate itself through the body and the suit. And I think that's the best way to do it, in my opinion, is to do something like that for healing arts.
Well, that is absolutely one way of experiencing it. And another way is through creativity. And you know, you've written books, and you know, I painted cards, and I did the book of poetry, and you know, there's a certain amount of needing to have creativity in your life in some form every day. And I have found that when life, you know, comes to a halt, and it does from time to time, and sometimes it comes to a halt because you need to grow, or you need to regenerate, or you need to switch directions, or whatever. And sometimes it comes to a halt because you're not fueling yourself. And we fuel our spiritual journey through the creative process. And it doesn't have to be, you know, writing spiritual tomes or anything like that. But the creative process is the fuel that our spirit needs for us to grow and move forward. So that whether it's getting engrossed in needlepoint or knitting, or taking apart an engine and putting it back together, or gardening, or, I mean, there are so many different forms of creativity. What happens when you're involved in a creative process is that you tune out reality and you become involved and engrossed in whatever you're doing, and that gives spirit time and the opportunity to send inspiration and insight and all sorts of wonderful things to you to your consciousness, so that you're more aware of them. I mean, sometimes folding laundry is creative. Not for me, but there are people that, you know, just absolutely go into the zone when they fold laundry.
That's another one.
Yeah, cooking is another absolutely wonderful form of creativity. But if you don't have any creativity in your life, and there is only one rule here, that it's a universal rule, I'm sure, that if you are paid for your creativity, it doesn't count. It has to be creativity done just for the pure joy of creation. So
yeah, something you want to do.
Yeah, and something that
You don't want to make it work-related. In my opinion, you want to give it room to breathe. You know, just something as I don't want to say a hobby, but that kind of thing. Yeah.
No, a hobby is good. When this concept occurred to me, it was way back, and I was still teaching, and I thought, I have this one absolutely made. I do arts and crafts with my kids at school every day, and you know, my life had kind of come to a halt, and you know, I was waiting for something to happen or move forward or whatever. And I remember after a while my saying, you know, I am doing all this creative stuff. I don't understand why life isn't moving along for me, because, you know, I'm created every day. And so I meditated on it, you know, which I wasn't meditating quite a bit then. So I sat and I realized, and all I got through the meditation was, you can't double dip. So if you're paid for your creativity, the universe is not going to enhance you on top of it.
Oh, how funny.
So then I started in doing other creative work, like gardening and needlepoint and all sorts of other things in my off hours, and things started to pick up, things started to change, things started to move, and I have found that there are times in my life where, you know, everything is so busy and cranking that I don't have the creativity going as much as I should, and it feels like life has come to a stop. Life has come to a standstill. And it's like, okay, so what have I done creatively? And the answer is actually nothing. So, you know, you get back to working on it. That's one reason why I don't charge anything for any of the radio shows. This is creative for me. This is exciting for me. And you know, the people that have shows on it, they don't pay anything. And I do all the work. And that's fun. It's creative for me. I enjoy it. But then you will get to a point where, wait a minute, you know, so this is routine. So it's no longer as creative. So there has to be another creative project here of some sort that is new and different that will start to enhance, you know, and fuel what's going on. And it's a constant growing process. And I don't know, how do you feel about the creative stuff?
I'm always creative, but I'm very cerebral too. I'm very analytical. So I think there's a balance with me. My writing is definitely, I try to make it creative, but it's just, I don't know, I'm streaming something creative, but it's more technical these days. But I think that I always find an outlet because my spirit, I realize my soul spirit needs to breathe. And there are times when I find the best part of that kind of thing to activate that aspect of me is working out and training. That was a big deal for me, especially with martial arts. And I found it was one of my best avenues as far as creativity goes. And then, of course, we had this weird going on with the past year and gyms closed and this and that. So it became a little bit different. But for me, that's one of my favorite creative outlets. And then the radio is what it is. I enjoy being out there just as a voice and resonance to communicate what I know, my gnosis of understanding. And I find that people resonate and pick up on that because there's way too much debris out there. I mean, there's so much, I don't want to say garbage, but there's a lot of stuff that's just non-productive. So I try to be as productive as I can while I'm here. I don't know if that answers your question. I tend to ramble.
No, it does. And exercise is another form of absolutely creativity. And mm-hmm. if you look at athletes that do cross-country stuff, they get in, they call it the zone. And mm-hmm. that's exactly what I'm looking for. I mean, that's exactly where you've taken the intellect out of it, and you have an open channel, and that's what makes it so exciting.
Yeah, it is. I know this is a stupid question. Have you ever done archery?
Once, yes.
Okay, I was just curious. I would think that you'd be pretty good at that. I don't know why, but I was just curious. Because you have to be in the zone for something like that as well, even though it seems very analytical. There's something that goes beyond the physical with all these types of things, you know. It becomes more spiritual.
Well, and another great way for beginners and advanced people too, a 5,000 piece jigsaw puzzle.
Oh, I love those. Oh, sure.
If you've ever noticed what happens when you're working on a jigsaw puzzle, your mind absolutely is blank. You're looking for pieces that fit. And what I love about a jigsaw puzzle, especially a really complicated one, is that usually you find your outline first, and in many ways the puzzle becomes a reflection of your life. And you're putting the pieces together. You're looking for the pieces that fit. And in many ways, it's a way of on another level, another dimension, putting the pieces of your life back together.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to say it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And it's great. You can do it with other people, and you will find that even though there are other people working at the table with you on the puzzle, everybody's quiet, and everybody is focused in another direction. And not only are they focused, but they aren't thinking. And that's when that connection happens.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice, Barbara. You know what? I need to get a puzzle just by you saying that. But I'm thinking of my three cats right now. With a puzzle. But, yeah, I love puzzles. And I think that's awesome. That's a great analogy, too, about putting the pieces back together.
And, you know, I used to do them with my mother. While we didn't talk while we were doing it, we were together, and we were both focused on what we were looking for, and yet it was a wonderful time of communicating without talking. And I have cats, too. And while they will get on the table and, you know, move pieces around and stuff, it was my dog that was really the monster. I had a little Sheltie, and she would sit there and she would, you know, she'd flow with us. And I think when the day that my mother passed, I was doing a jigsaw puzzle with a friend of mine while we were waiting for my sister to arrive from Massachusetts. And the dog was there just looking at me and you know, smiling. And I said to my friend who was putting the puzzle together with me, I said, I have a feeling that the dog knows something we don't know. And we finished it all, and there was one piece missing, and I looked at Chelsea, the dog, and she smiled back like, yep, I ate it.
Oh, no.
But the reality was that that puzzle that was being done while my mother was passing over, it was interesting that there was one piece missing. And mm-hmm. and I kind of wondered if with my mother there was one piece missing that she was going to have to come back and sort of complete with some of the people that had been in her life.
Wow, very interesting.
And again, probably. Like I said before, you become more profoundly observant of meaning behind everything that happens. And you know, putting a jigsaw puzzle together, it's really as complicated as you can get it, because that's what makes it wonderful.
That's great advice.
But you are, when you are so focused on something, when you are intellectually focused on something else, it gives spirit time to get other messages subliminally to you. So that you know, dreams can be enhanced. You can suddenly have wonderful insights, you know, that night or the next day. It's a wonderful form of letting your mind rest and your spirit take over. So.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I have to go get a jigsaw puzzle now. I don't have one, so I have to get one. But yeah, that's great. I like chess. I play chess a lot. So.
Again, your mind. Well, see, now there your intellect is working. Because you're trying to, you know, be 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 moves ahead of the other person. I've never learned chess. I would, you know, that's one of the things that I have on my bucket list that I should learn before I croak.
You know, there's an online game you can play the machine. You can play the computer. It's pretty fun. And they have all levels, so you should try it out.
I mastered checkers. That was about it.
That's good.
chess would be fun, but it is, it's sort of like bridge. I think that there is a level of consciousness that there are people who play bridge and competition bridge, which is phenomenal. Pinochle person, you know, I'll bet, I'll bluff, I'll whatever, but you know, there's bridge was much too cerebral for me, I'm afraid.
I've never played pinochle, so there you go.
Well, it's sort of like poker in a way.
But
everybody, you know, everybody will find things that just, you know, that resonates so well for them. I mean, I've got a couple of jigsaw puzzles, and I've talked about them now so often, I'm going to have to put one out on the table and just hope the cats don't, you know, disturb it, because it's a wonderful form of meditation.
Mm-hmm. And, I agree.
And it's a good beginning form of meditation, but it's a good form no matter what. And I think everybody, you know, it behooves everybody to find those things that really they flow into, they enjoy doing, and therefore, you know, it enriches them in it makes something happen in their lives that makes their life better. I gardened, have always gardened, and when I moved down here to Nashville, intentionally I got a place that did not have a lot of space because, you know, give me space and I'll make a garden. So I have a pot garden. I'm not growing pot, but I have pots where I have flowers in my pots, and I keep adding pots to it, and everybody keeps saying, you know, you know, you're pretty crowded here, and I, you know, always make room for another plant or another pot because it's a form of meditation for me. I deadhead the flowers. I talk to them. So but that's not for everybody. Gosh, I know people that do quilting, and again, there's a matter of focusing on something so that you aren't thinking about anything else. And if you can get to that empty-headed place, then your spirit has time to talk to you, and that enhances your spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
You work out you solve the world's problems that way. But more importantly, you should focus more on things that are a little closer to home. We have certainly no control over what happens nationally or stuff like that, but we do have control over our own lives. And once you get focusing on yourself and what you need for yourself and how you're going to interact with other people and how you give to other people through giving to yourself first, really, really important. So many people get into spirituality and the metaphysical field and think that they're going to be of service to mankind, and you're only of service to mankind if you're of service to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Yeah, you don't have to save the world, trust me. Just do the best you can as a positive being is my suggestion. You know what comes to mind, too, now that we're talking about all these cool stuff, like all this flying kites. I mean, not that that would put people in a different space, but I don't know. I used to love to fly kites, and even as an adult, I used to like to fly a kite. So I know it sounds, I don't even know if people really do that much anymore. It sounds kind of like dated, but my point is that it is another one of those things where it puts you in another orbit in a sense. So there's so many things you can do. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I would think flying a kite would be great. There's so many wires and stuff like that around these days that it's probably hard to do. But on the beach, I notice a lot of people fly kites, on the beach, which is a great place to do that. It's a form of meditation. You're watching it ride the currents. And when you stop to think about it, you're watching an energy floating, and you have an attachment to it through the string that you're holding, and you can feel the vibrancy of what's going on. It's a beautiful experience, I would think.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. And I hope the kids still do that, you know. I always wonder what the kids are doing these days besides looking at their iPhones, but it'd be nice to see them get into those. That, to me, is normal in the sense of just getting out there and having fun and appreciating life.
That's absolutely part
of spirituality right there, you know.
It is. I mean, experiencing nature, growing up, when my parents were still together, we had boats all the time, and I loved, you know, getting on the bow of the boat and just sitting in the spray as we hit, you know, swells and stuff like that. And that to me was magical. That put me into another place, another time. I think that as children, we naturally go to that place. And what happens is as we grow, we are taught to not so much be in the moment, but to pay attention to the things that are important, like getting a job and, you know, all of the mundane things in the physical reality. And I think that, you know, you're right. Kids today all have iPhones and you know, cell phones and stuff like that. And they're more into the electronics, but the reality is the experience of life is such a high. It's just so amazing that you kind of want to take them out of their electronic world and put them into some of the magic that's out there. I mean, walking in the rain without lightning. I used to love to take the dog out for a walk at 2 or 3 in the morning, especially if there was a fresh snowstorm. It was, you know, the crunch of your footsteps, the fact that you were the first one to walk that road and put your footprints in it in the snow. Just there's magic all around us. And unfortunately, life has been so strange that people have forgotten to experience the magic of the moment. Oh, I should write
that's
that
so
down.
That's so true. Yep, no, that's so true. I agree with you. And that's what I mean by appreciating life, because, you know, life moves very quickly. It really does.
Uh-huh.
And those moments, you know, capturing those moments of magic and love, whatever it is very significant. And I feel kind of bad for kids these days because it seems like they just don't have that kind of environment. you know, we grew up in a different realm. It was different.
Oh, gosh.
You know, I love technology. Don't get me wrong, but it's everything's changed. It's not the same.
In the summertime, I can remember my mother saying to us, make sure you're home by the time the streetlights go on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. We were gone. We were out with friends. We were on our bicycles. We were, you know, doing whatever kids do outside. But today, everybody is so, and justifiably so, because there is so much violence out there. I understand that. But I've got grandchildren that are, 14 and 18 or 15 and 18 now. And
wow.
Their lives have been, they've been protected by love by their parents, but they've been so controlled and scheduled that free time to just be outside and be a kid is no longer present within their reality.
Mm.
And, you know, I feel bad for them, because there is a magic to that. I mean, we used to go exploring. My sister and I, there were woods behind the house we lived in Minnesota that went all the way down to the Mississippi River. And we literally would spend hours in the woods, you know, finding all sorts of treasures and stuff like that. And it was magical. There was a sense of adventure. There was a sense of being on our own, and kids today don't have that. They have their mm-hmm. phones, and they they Twitter, and they whatever, and it's sad. There is a, but I would think that my parents' generation probably felt sorry for us as we grew up, because they didn't have the same kind of we didn't have the same kind of freedom they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when my mother was growing up, I don't even know that there were telephones. There must have been telephones, but there was no TV.
Mm-hmm.
There was a radio they all listened together as a family with, but there was you know, they talked at the dinner table.
Right.
And there aren't dinner tables so much anymore.
Communication. You're right. I think there's a loss there. I think there's a, you know, that disconnect, and it's not healthy, in my opinion. Because when push comes to shove, you can have all the friends in the world, but, you know, the cohesiveness of a real, true spiritual family, I'm not saying they're all really connected, but my point is that I think that it does mean, as people get older, they realize how important that is. And it certainly has changed quite a bit. Yeah, I had to laugh when you were talking about, my sister and I used to go ride our bikes everywhere, and one time we dug up a bunch of glass and put it in a jar. We thought we were getting, like, diamonds and singing glass.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't cut my hands. But literally, you know, but that's what, you know, kids, you know, that's what we used to do. And I'd be like, oh, look, we're rich, you know, we've got these jars of glass, right? So that's just what kind of childhood I had, but, yeah.
No, it
was fun.
We lived by the, you know, the shore, and, you know, the sea glass was fun to collect, and you know, we had rock collections, and we had
mm-hmm.
shell collections, and we had...
I love rock, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I have been a rock gemstone person since, I don't know, since the beginning. And for the longest time, I did gem casting. And I've got,
nice.
You know, I've got when I started out doing it, I was at a spiritual convention, and somebody, one of the main speakers, asked to, you know, get a reading from the gemstone, the gem cast. And I did, and I said, you know, my dream is to one day have precious stones that are faceted and tumbled and everything. And he said, oh, you will someday. This is, you know, you've done this in past lives. This is something that you, you know, you've done before. And I have a jar full of faceted gemstones. I mean, that was like 30, 40 years ago. I don't mm-hmm. do it that much anymore, because everybody wants to play with all the stones and see what ones they would make into jewelry, which defeats the purpose of the whole thing. But it just, you know, it's kind of like to have the freedom to experience and to stretch yourself into different things that, that you know your parents might not be aware of, is something that, that we had as children that that the kids today don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I you know, my grandchildren only know the life they've lived, and it's so to this point been an amazing one. But they've traveled more than I have ever traveled or will ever travel, and they've seen things that, you know, I see on the computer, and that's all I need. But I think my one complaint about cell phones and stuff is that they aren't taught how to write anymore, you know?
Right.
And the texting is just so ridiculous, and I have people that just send me emojis, and I don't know what the hell they mean. So,
yeah, it's pretty much going to be down to grunts pretty soon. Like cavemen with electronics, you know. Stupid.
I think so.
I can't stand all that texting stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
No. It's sort of like it's great that they are communicating, but you know, I don't understand half the communication stuff. So, I am at a loss. I think I am a dinosaur when it comes to stuff like this. But. You know, the creativity that I'm not seeing in these kids. I mean, it may be there. It may be there in a different way. I'm just not seeing it. I'm not seeing it either.
I'm seeing mimics. Yeah. I'm seeing mimic programming, which is like emulating people they see in media, like entertainment, music. But it's just mimicking. Mm-hmm. They're not learning. They're really not. So.
No.
You know, it's easy to have autospell. Autocorrect. I mean, they have this typing where you type in one letter and you get the whole sentence. Well, I don't want that. I mean, first of all, it's programming your brain to see something way different when you're not even thinking about trying to write it like that. You know, there's so many things that you can adjust it. But, yeah, I don't know where these children are heading. It's interesting.
Well, it is interesting because it's also the generation where the indigo children are here, where there are children that really have a more spiritual understanding of everything than a lot of adults, and you know it's happening that there is a generation of more spiritually oriented children that are now growing up, and it's going to be fascinating to see what the future holds for us, because life is changing, society is changing, and there are new developments all over the place, and there is the reality that so much stuff, and I just mean stuff, has been held back from the public that eventually it's going to have to be released, and the population as a whole is going to be overwhelmed at what actually has been going on behind our backs, and so what is society going to do? I mean, I think that the element of politics is in for a rude awakening as stuff becomes more and more known as to what's been going on in the world that they have not been sharing with us. So,
mm-hmm.
I think we're in for massive changes, and I think that you and I, especially, and other people who are in this particular field, volunteered to come. To incarnate at this particular point in time, I'm not sure why, but there has to be a reason. There has to be some sort of balance, and maybe it's for balance or to help people.
I always said my ship crashed. That's what happened. I'm taking my check and I'm going. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
but, no, I agree with you. There's, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's kind of like... did I miss the plane that was going in the direction where my final destination was, and I'm just stuck here?
Wrong exit, Barbara.
Yeah. Well, it's really fascinating to see. You know, there was a time where people who did what you and I do would be burned at the stake. Now we're not treated that way now, but it's sort of like. I think there is a hunger out there for spirituality, and people don't know how to reach for it within themselves. And I think that's one of the reasons, you know, why I suggested we start with spirituality, because, you know, there are other aspects that we'll get into over time, but just connecting, making that connection internally to your, to the spirit that you carry with you. I mean, not only is it fascinating to make that connection, but you open yourself up to wisdom that you can't get out of books. You can get knowledge out of books, but if you take that knowledge and then you incorporate it into yourself, it becomes your own personal wisdom, which is much more important. So, mm-hmm. you know, rather than being a parrot and giving chapter and verse and not understanding what you're saying, making that knowledge your own and getting wisdom out of it is part of what spirituality is. It's incorporating it in and making it part of your own personal truth. And mm-hmm. and
very true.
And our truths change. I mean, my philosophies today are very different than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I anticipate they will continue to grow and change. And every now and then when I try to start writing things down, I realize that, oh, you know, that's not how I feel anymore.
Well, it is interesting to write your book and you look back at it. Yeah. I can also say that my books that I've written, though, if I look back and reread them, I pretty much leave them the way they're supposed to be because they're exactly the way they need to be for that timeline. So don't need to make any corrections there. But I get what you're saying. I think we're ever expanding and evolving anyway. So things change quite a bit. Yeah.
Well, I think it's, well, you know, we're here to grow, too. You know, we're not perfect for sure. I can speak for myself. I am not perfect. And I still have lots of things I'm working on happily because I think when I finish working on them, I'll cross over. And frankly, I'm having too good a time. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you'll stick around.
I'm planning on it. I really am. I'm planning on traumatizing my great-grandchildren.
All right. You know, you're talking about the spiritual, but it is like the Holy Grail within. I mean, people are seeking the Grail. The grail of spirit, the grail of life, however you want to call it, but I think that's what it is, but it is there. It's accessible. They just need to know how to access it, and I think that this was a great show to bring this into the highlight of it, or, you know, front and center, so to speak.
Well, I think, too, that you know, I think people have to understand that to get into your own spirituality, you can do things that are very mundane that will open that portal for you. Like a jigsaw mm-hmm. puzzle, like gardening, like writing, like exercising, like getting info. I mean, exercising is an amazing way of getting to that place within yourself. And if you're like me and not into the extreme physical whatever, there's always Tai Chi, which is mm-hmm. which is a very, you know, amazing form of meditation with movement. Mm-hmm. And the very first time you do it, if you have a good teacher, you will feel the energy running through your body. And mm-hmm. once you feel the run of the energy and you know that there's something going on there, whether you don't understand it or whatever, but the energy is running through your body, that makes you aware that there's something else here, and it takes you into a whole nother aspect of your own physicality and what you can do with what you've got inside of you. And with Tai Chi, as soon as you have positions right and the movement right, you can feel it energizes you like crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. It's excellent for recovery, too, for anybody who's recovering from surgery or anything like that. Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah, and Tai Chi is a very slow-moving. I've never asked anyone, so I don't know for sure, but is it more than just slowing down with you know, your keto and things like that, or are there different movements or whatever?
Yeah,
or
there's different forms
same?
Associated. I guess you could call them katas to some degree. There are different forms connected to Tai Chi, or you could just make one up yourself, but I would suggest people learn from an instructor. And then Qigong is nice because I'm sure you've done that or maybe not, but that's the one where you're just working with the energy itself and it's in your hands with your breathing and working with the universal life force energy. And that's very, very powerful for people who don't want to do a lot of movement. I mean, Tai Chi is not that movement oriented in my opinion. Anyway, it's pretty graceful, but Qigong is very, you can just stand there and work with the Qigong. Easy exercise.
Well, I know that I haven't done that much Tai Chi because I had vertigo, so I fell over easily, and I kept knocking other people over too, so they kicked me out. But but before I got kicked out, they were friends. They said you can't work with a group because you're falling over and knocking everybody over and laughing. And, you know, for me it was funny. It was like, here I go. But the one thing that I found was you can't do it with a videotape. You can if you know exactly what to do. But starting out, you really should have an instructor, because if you aren't accurate with what you're doing, you will not feel the run of the energy. And I think that's the most important thing to feel. Once you've clicked into that, once you know exactly what that feels like, and it's the same thing with Reiki. Feeling the run of the energy is so important. It's a channeling of energy. It's opening yourself up to the universal source and bringing that energy through your body. And again, if you're using your own physical energy, you'll exhaust yourself and you won't be able to move.
That's a great outlet for people.
Oh yeah. And you can use it on your pets too, which I've always found was a wonderful thing. I have a friend who does it on her horses, and I've done it on my cats and dogs when I had them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a relaxing form of energy, and if people are into their pets, there's also, I can't remember the name of it now. I've been kicking myself because I can't. Something touch. There's a certain form of massage, Tellington touch, with animals that relaxes them and that eases them. And there's a video. There are videos out. It's probably on YouTube. It's called the Tellington touch, and you use it with cats and dogs and horses and all sorts of animals. So I've seen it used actually with wild animals as well. Brave people who did that, but. I've seen it used on wolves, and I've seen wolves having experienced it, and these are wild wolves having experienced it would literally turn up for a treatment in the wild.
Wow. How interesting.
The energy was so profound. There was a woman who worked with a wild pack of wolves, and one of them had, I think it was arthritis or something like that, and it was almost crippled. And they did tranquilize it to a point to get it to a table where she could work on it. And from then on, the animal came and got on the table. And it was wild.
Amazing. Wow. So, that says something right there.
Yeah, no, Tellington touch is amazing. And I'm sure that there's a YouTube on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only good thing about YouTube. There is.
Yeah,
you can always look for.
But you know, spirituality is a really important thing for people to be aware of, to understand that it is not an extension of their religion. It is something. It is not instead of. It's alongside of a religious belief system, and so it doesn't replace, and it doesn't in any way conflict, because we're talking spirit. We're talking basically, among other things, the Golden Rule. And you know, and that is at the foundation of every religion out there. So, but it's a genuine turning of your attention to, you know, you being a better person, so that you can be a better person to other people, so that there is a flow of kindness and love, and love is a spectacular vibration. So, and part of spirituality, you know. Loving yourself, loving other people, and sharing that energy with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are centered. They are not conflicting with each other. There's no polarization. It's definitely a universal language.
Oh, absolutely. And And understanding with, you know, because so many people are relationship focused these days, it's important that you be whole in order to share with another person. And if they aren't whole, then there's not a balance and it doesn't work. It's a matter of of loving yourself so that you can share that love with someone else. So many people don't understand that. So many people are looking for love to complete themselves, and that's appropriate, but it's loving themselves that is what the true relationship is, and then sharing with someone else.
Yeah, exactly. They have to have themselves in balance first. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah.
And that's part of spirituality. It's part of the whole, you know, when we talk about spiritual development, when we talk about spirituality, it's understanding that there's a whole other genre that we can utilize that enhances our lives here and doesn't conflict with any religious belief system. And I think that's the biggest thing I have struggled with lots and lots of people, in that, you know, it doesn't change what your religious beliefs are. You're entitled to them, and if they give you comfort and, you know, if they make you feel good, then that's a great place to be, but you can be spiritual on top of that. And I think one of the most interesting, I did a thing with doing spiritual baptisms in the spiritualist church one Sunday, and I told people, you know, that if they wanted to be baptized in spirit, you know, to come forward. And it was a spiritualist church, and people came in up to the front of the church as though they were going to communion. I think most of them must have been Catholic at one time because they all did it beautifully. And one man, when he finally got in front of me, he said, I'm an atheist. And I said, I don't care. And he said, well, I don't believe in God. And I said, I don't care. You still want a spiritual baptism? And he said, absolutely. And I gave it to him. And he looked at me and he said, I felt something. And I said, I'm really glad. And he said, but I'm still an atheist. I said, but you're a better atheist now.
That's great. That's a good one.
Yeah. No, it's nice. You know.
Well, see, he has a spirit. There's
have...
consciousness there, right? You know, it's funny.
Oh,
they don't have to believe in anything. But it's, when push comes to shove, we come from the stars, we go home to the stars. I say it a billion times, but it's true. And with that is our intelligence, but it's also our spiritual blueprint. So they don't have to believe in anything, but they still are cosmic beings.
Well, yeah.
That's my dog in the background, by the way. Go ahead. You should water
check out that,
and Kelly. Yeah, I will. My senior dog drinking water out of a bowl. So there you go. Okay.
Well, mine are both asleep on their trees.
Oh, good. Nice.
But they certainly have been tearing the place up. They always do. It's really interesting. Whenever I do a show that has something to do with spirituality of some sort, they end up here absolutely zonked out because the energy is so cool that you know, it just absolutely puts them to sleep. It's really, it's very exciting. And
cats are energy vampires, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know what the Chinese say about cats? They say that their purpose is to draw heavy energy from a person's heart. And you'll find that lots of cats, especially after my mom passed, one of my cats kept getting up on my sister's chest and just laying there. And you know, my sister's a cat person, so she loved it. She said, she's never done this before. And you know, I said, well, Chinese say that they pull heavy energy from a person's heart. And she said, you know, I do feel better. And I did for 17 years, I had a meditation group in my house every week. And I found that my cats would come in when the circle formed, and they would walk around the circle, and they would each pick a person, and they'd get up and they would sit on that person's lap or whatever. And I, without failure, they always got on a person's lap that was going through an emotional problem.
Hmm.
Without failure. And it was because I would go to the people afterwards, you know, when we had coffee afterwards and whatever, and I'd pull them aside and say, you know, the cat sat on your lap all during the meditation, and she said, you know, it was so comforting. I've been going through such a tough time, and, you know, and she'd tell me, and she said, it made me feel so much better that there was that warm fuzzy there. And, you know, I have to give it to the cats. You know, they sought the people that were having emotional problems. And I think dogs don't do it to the same extent as cats do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Dogs just love everybody. And,
yeah, definitely.
But with cats, if you have cats, if people out there have cats, if you pay attention, you'll find that when you are going through upset, they are closer to you than you know, when everything is well and good and fine. You know, there have been times when I have been upset over, you know, Lord knows what, but during those times, I find both cats are on the bed with me and they sleep with me all night. And at other times, they could care less. You know?
Nice. Yeah, they are psychic protectors, and they do absorb psychic negative energy, so it makes sense that they would do that, as you were discussing earlier. Yeah, I think they're wonderful beings. I know that whenever I do any type of ceremonial work or anything at all, my one cat hones in on it. He's very much like a familiar. And the other ones do too, but one is super attuned to, he loves incense. He loves everything connected to candles and meditation. He's amazing.
Yeah, I think that you know, having pets is, depending on what the pet is, warm fuzzies I love. Anything that is more reptilian, I tend to veer away from. But there is something about that sense of you get into that zone. And they feel it, and they are drawn to it. And most people don't recognize that. Of course, I treat my cats like people, and lots of people treat their animals like animals. And I guess a lot of it will depend upon, you know, how you are approaching having a pet in your life too. But it's really phenomenal because you create a vortex of energy in your home. And when I moved here, I fed the birds all the time, winter, summer, fall, when I lived in Connecticut. And when I came here, of course, bird feeders went up. And I didn't notice any birds around or anything, and I thought, well, I'll just leave them up and see what happens. And one of the things that I was always thrilled by in Connecticut was that there was at least one pair of cardinals that would come to the bird feeder. And I sat one day, and I just sent out the energy, and I surrounded the bird feeder, and I invited cardinals in. The next day, I had 14 cardinals at the bird feeder.
Wow! Nice, very cool.
So
that's
you
impressive.
Know, you can invite them in. You can you know, and I think that. Again, it's a way of playing with your energy, and everybody should play with it. Energy is fun to play with, so long as you aren't imposing on someone else's destiny pathway or anything like that. But you can create an environment that you invite things into, or you don't. I do not invite mosquitoes or ants into my energetic field. And one of the people here said, one of the people here in this complex, you know, was sitting talking to me, and she said, you know, I've noticed something that's really kind of weird. And I said, what's that? She said, everybody here is bothered by mosquitoes, and you don't have any. And I said, I hadn't noticed, and I hadn't, but it was true. I, you know, wander around, and I talk to other neighbors, you know, we're close, and I noticed that, you know, everybody was swatting at mosquitoes, and I got to my little section, and there weren't any. And,
nice.
I mean, I didn't spray any poison or anything. I just, you know, ask that the insects respect the flowers, and, you know, bees can come and pollinate all they want, but nothing that bites, because I'll bite back.
Nice.
And
set your perimeters up. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
But again, something else that you can do with your energy once you get connected to it, you can invite cardinals. You can do all sorts of wonderful things with it. And the more use you get to using it, the more you use it, the more strong it gets, the more powerful it gets. You know, you will do no harm, obviously, but it's a matter of being able to utilize your energy to enhance your environment, and that's something that anybody can do. My home has always been a very peaceful place, and you create that. You create that by being that and by working with your spiritual energy and stuff like that. So I just noticed we're getting close to out of time here. So I think we did a really good job of spirituality stuff here.
Oh, I think so, too. It's been a pleasure, as always, and it's been wonderful here tonight.
And I think we want to mention that we're going to, you know, continue doing spiritual stuff every other month, and then the other part of the time we're going to go into Manly P. Hall's book that we both love, and we'll go into a chapter on whatever you choose for next month.
All right. Well, stay tuned for next episode of Neon Twilight.
Yes, absolutely.
It's been fun. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, too. And Barbara, yeah, I just love communicating with you. It's been wonderful. I really enjoyed this. 2 hours just flew right by.
It did. And I think that sharing with each other helps other people understand how diverse everything can be.
Mm-hmm.
So don't feel anything is, you know, everything is fluid. And the more that you are allowing yourself to flow with the fluidity that's around you, the more you enhance your reality completely. And even if it's attracting birds to your bird feeder,
I think that's wonderful. That's a great art of manifestation right there. Very nice.
Well,
I'm impressed with that.
Well, you know, I tried winning the lottery with it, and it didn't work, but I did attract birds. This lifetime, I'm definitely not meant to be a millionaire, but I figured we'll give it a shot. What the heck?
Well, 3 a.m., you'll get a bunch of numbers. You should write them down.
you know, I've done that. It's a waste of money. If the universe wants me to have money, it'll manifest on its own. I'm not going to try to win the lottery, because whoever wins it probably needs it more than I do. So
there you go.
Yeah. Well, let's see. You have two shows. You want to tell people where they can go to those other shows?
Oh, sure. If anybody wants to listen to Hyperspace, it's over on KTR Digital Radio Network on Friday nights, 12 midnight Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Pacific. And then Raven Star's Witching Hour, which is on Saturday nights at freedomslips.com Studio A, 12 midnight Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Pacific as well. So there you go.
You've spread yourself well.
I do, and so do you. You're a busy lady, but we love it, and thank you for having me over here. It's wonderful. I enjoy it, and I hope everybody learned something tonight.
Well, I sure did. So it's been a total pleasure, and I want to thank you for spending, you know, the one night you do a month with us, because I learn a lot, and it's always so
likewise.
Much fun.
It is. It's kind of like brainstorming on the cosmic scale. It's wonderful.
It definitely is, and it's a wonderful way to focus energy. Don't forget the jigsaw puzzles, everybody.
Excellent.
So I'm going to say goodnight, and thank you so much, Solaris, for being here, and thank you to everybody for listening and sharing. Get back to us if there are areas you want us to cover. Both of us are open to suggestions, so let us know. You can find me at barbaradelong@gmail.com, and the website is barbaradelong.com. You have a website too, don't you?
I do. It's Night Shadow Anomaly Detectives.
Okay.
You can find me over there.
And don't forget her books. They're fabulous. They're fabulous books. Those are on Amazon. So good night, everybody. Solaris, again, thank you.
My pleasure. And thank you.
My pleasure, too. This has been so cool. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This will be up on YouTube tomorrow. Take care now and stay out of trouble.